Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dan Devine, Yahoo Sports, NBA senior writer, joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dan, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate you. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. We're excited, Dan, for the series. The Miami series was kind of meh, although it was fun to watch the Cavaliers blow another team out, especially Miami, but we're really looking forward to the series. We think this is just going to be a grinding series and what should be some great basketball. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs did everything that you could ask for in that opening round series, right? You didn't see a single, kind of crack in the armor. You saw a team that was extraordinarily...
Nope, Danny there?
I'm here.
Oh, Dan, sorry about that. We had something... Or crackle in the phone line. Go back. I'm sorry. Finish what you were just saying.
No, okay. You guys do hear me now?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, great. You saw an extraordinarily serious-minded team that was like, we are not wasting any time. We are not skipping any steps. We are just going to put the hammer down. I think you're going to see a stiffer level of competition in Indiana, rather. The ability that they have with Tyrese Halliburton on the floor to stretch you out, spread you out, have a lot of different opportunities to score on you defensively. They pose a lot of challenges there. And I think the thing that a lot of people might not be as aware of if they haven't paid a lot of attention to the Pacers this year because they haven't gotten a lot of national TV time when they're not fighting with people's dads and stuff is that they are a better defensive team. We maybe think about last year's squad that went to the NBA Cup Finals or the in-season tournament final, and it's like they were all gas, no breaks, no defense. This team, much better balanced. They've found... with Andrew Nembhard at the point of attack, Aaron Nesmith back on the wing for them, Miles Turner defending the rim, and they've got sort of more depth, more bodies on the wing. They were a near top 10 defense, I believe, for the last 50 or so games of the season. So you're seeing a better balanced team that's got a high-end offense, and I think that should prove to be a really strong test for the Cavs. But I think the general sort of top-line takeaway here is the Cavs have shown an ability all season long to say, like, what don't you want to do? We're going to hammer that. Where's your weak point? We kind of don't have one. We feel super comfortable playing. We can play big. We can play small. We can play, stretch the floor and play five out. We can play with a center rolling to the rim and shooters. We can, we have lots and lots of options, especially after the trade for DeAndre Hunter. You can afford to have Darius Garland, not be available. Throw the keys to Ty Jerome for a little while. There's just so many different ways to beat you. I think you're sort of looking at the Pacers might be like a B-plus version of what the Cavs have been, but the Cavs are the A version of that. So it's stylistically, they're fairly similar in the way they want to attack and in the way they use their depth, but the Cavs have just been a higher-end squad all season long. So my expectation heading into the series is you see the Cavs prove that. Obviously dependent, I know you guys were talking about before I got on, Darius Garland's health, you want to be, I know there's reported concerns about his availability for game one. You want to see everybody at full strength, but the Cavs have shown themselves to be the class of the conference, and that's sort of, I think, the expectation heading into this series.
Dan, really good insight there. I'd like to talk, before we break down the matchups, so let's talk about the coaching matchup here. In Rick Carlisle, you have a NBA championship pedigreed coach. And you've got Kenny Atkinson, who doesn't have quite as much postseason experience, to say the least. So how do you think that factors into what we're going to see over the next week or so?
I mean, honestly, I don't know that the high level top, you know, like at the championship in the finals level experience is different, but Kenny Atkinson's also been around forever. You know, he started out with Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta,
right?
Or actually before that, even back in New York as a developmental coach, and has been around postseason basketball for decades now, has been a veteran of multiple long runs right before he took over the Cavs. Obviously he was with Steve Kerr in Golden State. So a lot of familiarity there in terms of what it takes. And I think just the general sort of philosophy of basketball, he knows what he wants his team to be. And I think the idea of, I would be surprised if you saw Kenny Atkinson kind of like flinch or blink in terms of what stylistic adjustments you would need to make in the series. I don't think he's going to be too clever by half and try to like get Indiana off on the wrong foot by changing away from what the Cavs have been successful with.
Right.
I think it's a lot more like, I got a 99 mile per hour fastball. Show me you can hit it before I worry about the off speed stuff. But I think Kenny Atkinson has pushed pretty much every right button you could ask for this season. Obviously, he's been the beneficiary of a level of health that last year's version of the team, JD Bickerstaff, last crew, did not have. But everything you could ask for in terms of reimagining the style of play and putting that team in a position to maximize the talent. I think he sort of checked every single box this season. So it'll be a great test, though. Yeah, you're right to note Rick Carlisle is an awfully creative thinker, especially on the offensive end of the floor. He's somebody who has problem solved in real time against multiple high-quality opponents, was able to, with the way that they coach their depth, right, and be able to play like everybody at a high level, but also not get the minutes up high, similarly to what Kenny Atkinson has done in Cleveland this year. They're able to press in the backcourt. They're able to run their guys out defensively and sort of put extra stress on ball handlers, try to get you deeper into the shot clock. We saw that pay dividends in the series last year against the Knicks in the second round, where by the end of the series, Tom Thibodeau's guys were all in traction and the Pacers were able to run roughshod over them by game seven. So there are going to be some challenges that Indiana presents in that way. But Rick Carlisle, the way he's philosophically moved that team certainly is a big part of that.
Dan, I love the way you broke down both coaches, but I also like the thought of these two coaches going ahead. You know, we spent so much time talking about players going up against players, but in this series, like, we were kind of kicking this around. What is a coach worth? And is it worth a game? Is it worth two games? Like, you know, you kind of look at it because this is a good matchup of two very good coaches.
Absolutely. And I mean, the answer that you wind up getting, sometimes you don't arrive at it until it's, you know, 11 seconds left and it's, you know, three minutes left. And do we challenge that? Right. Or, you know, do we have the confidence in saying, okay, the most important defensive player on our team just picked up his fourth early in the third. Do we trust him to ride it out? Like there's all those tiny micro decisions. It's not necessarily always, you know, how do we juggle the matchups on the pick and roll? Or do we try to have this person guard that person to junk up their offense? Sometimes it's that stuff, but sometimes it's those micro decisions moment to moment and whose blood pressure doesn't rise, whose heart rate stays steady. I think sometimes you don't know the answer to that until you actually see it. But we've seen Rick Carlisle, go all the way. We've also seen Rick Carlisle's teams come up short. We haven't gotten as much of a track record with Kenny Atkinson, but I think what we've seen from Kenny Atkinson in the big chair this year has been awfully
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Awfully promising.
Dan, I liked your 99-mile-per-hour fastball metaphor there. What do you think, what is the Cavs heater? Is it Mobley and Allen out there? Is it that group? And in terms of the chess moves that the Pacers and Carlisle are going to make, are they going to try to get Cleveland out of that, you know, try to bring those bigs away from the goalkeepers, if you will, bring them away from the basket?
I mean, yeah, like, listen, why not, you know, don't mess with what's been working. You know, the Cavs have had the best offense in NBA, or the most efficient offense in NBA history while playing two bigs, and have been elite defensively with both Allen and Mobley out there. They figured out, you know, obviously the chemistry and the amount of reps they've gotten together, they figured out how to play off of one another on the offensive end. And Atkinson's ability to say, we're going to move Donovan and Darius off the ball a little bit more, put the ball more in Evan Mobley's hands, trust him as a decision maker. It creates more problems for the opposing defense by having to guard those guys away from the basket, and also gives more provides wider driving lanes, more opportunities to get downhill for Mobley. And then they're both great passers and really instinctive movers in terms of what Mobley and Allen do off of each other. So I think, to me, it would be, yeah, don't get too cute early. Let's find out if our five can beat your five. You need to prove to me that we can't, that you're going to be able to adjust off of that. I think the matchup is interesting because it's sort of similarly styled, where Pascal Siakam is, you know, he's a shorter version of Evan Mobley, but similarly, mm-hmm. He can play inside out. He can play on the block. He can play in the isolation, sort of mismatch hunting game, bully ball, get guys down to the paint, and also versatile and moves around great on defense. So you can sort of move him over to a perimeter player, or have him body up a big on the block. And then while Jared Allen doesn't shoot threes like Miles Turner, as the floor spacer does, both obviously critical rim protectors at sort of the last line of defense very often for the teams where they want to funnel the ball into him and sort of let him be the one who can say, all right, you know what, give that guy baseline, let him drop step. I'm going to be over there to swat it or swallow him up, and we're going to create a turnover. And so moving him out of the paint is going to be critical for Indiana. But I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, similarly to Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, one of the premier pick and roll operators in the league, high volume, high efficiency, somebody super comfortable at being able to draw a mismatch out and then try to isolate, shoot a three, or get downhill and create for somebody else. So I expect the Cavs or the Pacers to try to get Jared Allen out into deep water, sort of force him to show that he can hold up against Halliburton. But the Cavs have also been super comfortable with, you know, he switching him out a lot. They know they've got another rim protector and as a defensive player of the year behind him. So I think that it's going to be an interesting matchup to see who can sort of make the other team feel uncomfortable. But what we've seen now, and it's because it's year three of this, that Cavs front court has gotten really comfortable playing in adverse situations, being forced to guard out in space, both guys. And I think, yeah, you if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I'm saying, prove to me you're good enough to make this hurt for us, and then we figure out where we go from there.
Dan, it's interesting when you live in Cleveland, because you're always waiting for the bottom to fall out. And, you know, they had a great season. They're the top seed in the East, and we all want to kind of buy into the fact that the Cavaliers should be able to win this series. But, there's a lot of, you know, obviously you have to respect Indiana. Look how far they went last year. Look at the changes they've made to be a little bit more defensive-minded to help them succeed throughout the season. You know, how confident should Cavalier fans feel? Or I don't even want to ask about the fans. Let me ask it this way. Who do you like in this series, and what do the Cavs need to do to win?
Yeah, I like the Cavs in this series. I mean, obviously the big question is, how are you going to get 100% of Darius Garland, and are you going to get him the whole way? That's obviously an inflection point, because there's no good time to lose an all-star point guard and somebody who's as effective off the ball and as comfortable, you know, as not elite a shooter as Garland is and has been. But I think that what we see, I'll go back to that sort of point, the way I put it earlier. I feel like this is a B-plus version versus an A version of a team. I think stylistically and structurally, you're talking about two teams that want to be able to get up and down. They want to play at a quicker pace. They beat you with the pass. We're going to break you down off the dribble. And then we've got four guys or however many guys that we trust to do that, where if we get them the ball, we're going to be able to get them into space and create. And then it's going to be kick out, spray, spray, you know, swing, swing, and we're going to get a great shot out of it. And then on the defensive end, we're going to try to use our collective, you know, point of attack, defensive acumen, our switchability, our wings, our depth, and we're going to try to like force you to, or we're going to make you feel us on the defensive end of the court. So you've got two top 10 caliber defenses with real rim protection behind it and some versatility on the wing. So I think stylistically, it's not like you're looking at one team that wants to just pound it in the post and another one that wants to shoot 83s. You've got like sort of similar styles. And I feel like that structural matchup, I don't know that Indiana has the overall talent to be able to like outpoint the Cavs that way. I think you're talking about maybe the story might be different if you're talking about full health, full tilt Celtics. But I think in this series, I don't see Indiana having the overall level of talent to be able to keep up with the various ways that Cleveland can break you down. So I wound up not writing the preview for the series. My colleague Ben Rohrbach wrote about that at Yahoo Sports for us. I don't remember off the top of my head what Ben picked. My initial reading, though, would be Cavs, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was quicker rather than longer.
Dan, both teams have interesting pieces coming off the bench, and in Cleveland they have the spark plug in Ty Jerome. Can you speak about T.J. McConnell and what he means to this Pacers team?
He means an immediate injection of annoyance. That's the top thing you got to think about T.J. McConnell, because what he's going to do when he gets into the game is he's going to pick up your opposing ball handler the full 94 feet. He's going to start by trying to steal the ball on the inbounds pass, like literally on the first inbounds pass, he's going to go try to get it. And then he's going to make you turn. He's going to try to shag seconds off the clock. And that's something that I feel like, I mean, I got to see it up close and personal here in New York, both in this Pistons series, but then also last year against the Pacers. Every second you take off the clock before you can get them into the front court or before the team gets into their offensive set, it's a win for the defense, right? It bleeds out the clock. It makes it more likely that the opponent is not going to get into a good action. And if you can blow up one action, you're probably going to get them deep into the clock where they might have to throw up a grenade. And so he immediately increases the level of pressure on the defensive end. On the offensive end, just because he's not a high-volume, high-efficiency three-point shooter, that does not mean he is somebody that is not a dangerous person on the offensive end. I don't know how T.J. McConnell as consistently gets into the paint as he does off the bounce, but he is somebody who is a relentless driver. He is somebody who gets into the lane. By the end of the series, you will be absolutely furious every time you see him get to like 9 or 10 feet and pull up for a little runner or a little floater. He gets there constantly. And then once he draws that, eventually he makes enough of those. You're going to start, the low man is going to have to come up and step up to stop the ball. He's got great vision, great touch in terms of being able to find either a lurking big man like an Obi Toppin for a lob, or Jarris Walker, another one of their reserve front court guys, cutting in for a dunk or a layup, or spraying out to the shooters on the perimeter. He is high efficiency. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He creates extra possessions on the defensive end, and he makes his two-point shots inside the arc at a really high level. So he's the kind of guy that's easy to sort of sleep on when you think about the high volume, high efficiency, big point scoring point guards in the league. But in terms of guys that come off the bench and that just give you consistent, reliable two-way minutes every night, he's one of the best in the league, and he's a difference maker.
Dan, last question. You got about 60 seconds. What does home court advantage mean other than just game 7?
Well, I think first off, it means everyone gets to see the diff. I'm a big fan of the diff. I love the diff. Seeing that up. What it means is you get first crack. You make them uncomfortable. They've got to come in. Your series got wrapped up faster. Theirs went a little bit longer. You've been in your home bed, you know, the whole time. They got to come into you. And obviously, I mean, I've been in Cleveland. I've been there for the finals. I've seen what that crowd can get like in big games of consequence. I don't know that I would expect Indiana to get rattled, but I also saw the Pacers struggle at times in New York last season with big, loud rock and gym. I think that can be super important, especially early in the series. You want to make sure you get those first two and then force Indiana to play off the back foot back at home, where you can then go try to grab a split and close it out in 5.
Dan, thank you. I'll see you in remedial math class with me. Thank you. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the series.
Thank you. We're reading you, Yahoo Sports. Thank you, Dan. Great stuff.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.